That's probably correct. They go according to the market value of a dozen eggs, and the market value of a dozen eggs is the same whether it's got a blood spot in it or not. That's part of the risk with which a person buys a dozen eggs. And that's what you're returning. No, because the counterfeit dollar is not I think it's like you said, it's more like the tsereris in the grain. It's something which is typically there at a certain percentage. And Mr. Tony can't go back to the store and make our toss because it's typically there at a certain percentage. I would guess. So there's a second when you give it, you also think you don't have to check because you give back market value. You give market. So you have to give it back anyway. Yeah.
You can't tell.
You can candle the egg. There's a way to candle eggs. You can candle eggs. All right. So this week, someone called one of the Talmid of the yeshiva who's a rebbe out of town. So he had come into New York for a simcha, and one of the balabatim in the out of town in the city where he is asked him to pick up an aleph bina for his son. He was very excited. His son was learning aleph bays, and the father himself was especially excited. I think he may not even have had a yeshiva education, and very excited. His son was signing for an aleph bays. So he asked him buy an aleph bina. So he came in. He went to a store, and it's $9 the aleph bina. I don't have color or black and white, but. He bought him an aleph bina and he brought it back to him. And he gave it to him. So the person had to pay him the $9. After I don't know how many days, let's see, the simcha was... He called me on Friday, and this was about a week earlier. So a few days later, the person who he bought the aleph bina for owns the kosher restaurant in town. So he sent him a $36 gift certificate for a meal. I guess that's a meal in the restaurant. So he sent him a $36 gift certificate. He said he was so happy with the aleph bina, and that's what he sent him back. He didn't send him back $9 plus the gift certificate. He sent him back the gift certificate, the $36 gift certificate. So what? So there are two questions. One question, what he asked me, his question was, well, it could be if you have a restaurant and you give someone a $36 meal, it could be it doesn't even cost him $9. If you take $9 out of his pocket, you're doing me a favor. If he gives me $9 cash, it may cost him more than to give me a $36 meal in the restaurant. So he's really getting a bargain. You know,
technically, it's $9.
He's
behind.
No, of course, to take it. He's happy to take it. He's very thrilled to take it. He wanted to take it. Well, if he accepts it, if you accept payment, it's payment. The question is if it's rivets. So the heter he mentioned, yes.
What about transferring it on to somebody else? Somebody gives you, you win something or you give it to you and then give it over to a third party.
Who lent your money? If it's
not
if you lend your money, you can give people whatever you like. It's only you can give. If you want to give me a gift certificate, I'll be happy to take it. Since I didn't lend you money, so I can take whatever I want. The only reason here it's a shaila is because of the fact that he had lent him money, which we'll discuss in a moment. No, he just gave him the $36 gift
certificate. And he expected payment back for
the. He expected payment back. Yeah, he asked him to buy something.
So he didn't
so,
get $9.
So the fact is that things go by market value, not what it costs a person to manufacture. Even if it costs me to manufacture a $36 thing for $9, still I can't give it to you as payment because we go by market value. That's partial. The question is he a malva? Is he a malva? Or not? It's derech mekach u'memkar, it's a drabana.
When is it on the problem?
So this is an interesting issue, and it's one of the issues. It falls really under a very broad category of chayshu mishpat issues, with which I sometimes have a difficult time. And that's the following: let's say I'm going to the store and you ask me to pick up a container of milk. So I go to the store, I buy a container of milk for you. When I'm in the store, I pay. I don't put it on your bill, I pay for it. When I come home, you're going to reimburse me the payment. What exactly has happened? Is pshat, I'm buying the milk for myself when I go to the store, and when I get home, I'm selling it to you. You're my next door neighbor. So I buy the milk. When I'm on my way home from the store, it's my milk. And now when I get to the house and I give it to you and you pay me, now I am selling it to you. Is that what's going through your mind? Or just to say the two ways. Or is pshat, no. When I go to the store, I'm kind of the milk for you. I pick up the milk for you. And when I pick up the milk for you, I go, I'm lending you money. I'm paying for it. I'm paying your bill. It's a loan, it's a halva of money. Now, when I get back, I'm delivering the milk that I purchased for you. And you are reimbursing me the money that I have paid for this. Yes.
Drop it on the way home.
That's right. That'll be nafkamina. If I drop it on the way home, it'll also be nafkamina. Okay, now. If I drop it on the way home,
if you drop it, the guy's not going to pay you.
So what do you think? When I buy it,
I
buy it for myself and I sell it, right? Is that most people would assume? Let me ask you a question. I never would have bought it, but am I buying it for myself and selling it to him? Or am I a shliach? You're saying I'm a shliach. So if on the way home it gets stolen, it's his problem. No. So now everyone looks at it the same way. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, true story. Somebody asked someone, he's going to the store, pick me up a lottery ticket. So he came over with a lottery ticket and he left it on his counter and he didn't give it to his neighbor until after the drawing. And it won! And it won! So he met him the next day and he told him, a funny thing happened. And he told him that was a problem, right? So I bought the lottery ticket and I missed the story. And I bought the lottery ticket, and what do you know? It's good I didn't give it to you because it won. Here's your dollar back, you know. And he said, "What do you mean? You bought the lottery ticket for me? It's my lottery ticket, and I won.
It's dollar."
So this is Maisa Shahaya. It happened. That's right. If I send the shliach l'kaddish yishin, he buys for himself. So it's because I said. But here, when he bought the lottery ticket, he wasn't buying it for himself. He was buying it for the other person.
He's only buying his friend a losing ticket.
So this is a ma'aseh shahayin. It's a truv in the Divrei Chaim. This happened a long time ago. In the Divrei Chaim. A third similar ma'aseh had to do with someone who sent someone to buy a shapel. The case was a little more complicated than the way I'm saying, but basically, someone knew a shekel machel could get a shekel cheap, and the consumer asked the shekel machel to buy the shekel, and the raw shekel. And it seems one in every, they explained to me, this was a serious sichsuch. They explained to me, the shekel machel explained to me, and I checked, it's true. One in about every 20 or 25 shekelach is bad. Every time. There's certain hair which when it's washed, after it's cut off the head of the person who grew the shekel, and one in about between 20 and 25 shekels is bad. It's going to get washed, and it'll lose all its shape, and it'll never get it back. And when you hear people say, I'm never going to go back to that shekel macher again, because, so every shekel macher knows that one, you know, every 4 to 5% of customers are going to be unhappy, and when they come back, they say, oh, I'll try to do it again, and they cut it a little differently, and they reshape it, and then they're unhappy again, and they pashka with them until it's all over, until they go to someone else. So, yeah. And the Shekelmacher, they know it. All the Shekelmachers know it, but, you know, that's like part of the game. So this Shekel was that Shekel. Hakomaydim, everyone agreed it was a bad Shekel, and it went flat, it was one of those, and it was the same Sichsuch. And they were sitting here, both of them. I told them, oh, the truth in the Divrei Chaim about the lottery ticket. I told them the truth. They said, what does it say? I told them, I got to look it up, you know. So the Shekel case was a little more complicated, but this halacha is a mefurisha sif in Shulchan Aruch and Chayshim Mishpat. Now you have to listen carefully and let me finish because it's a little complicated. The Chayshim Mishpatim says the Feirish, if you send me to go buy something in the store for you, then I am buying it for you. It's yours. When I go to the store and I purchase it, I'm buying it for you. It's yours. When I bring it home, I'm a shemachinam. I'm watching it for you. I'm not being paid for it. I'm not getting anything for it. I'm a shemachinam. I'm chayim on pshia. I'm potter on gneva v'aveda. I'm potter on everything else. When I pick it up, I'm kind of for you. Stama, I'm buying it for you. So I'm kind of for you. I buy it for you. And if something happens to it on the way home, it's your loss, not my loss. And in Mela, there are ribbis issues. There are ribbis problems. I'm laying out money for you. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to the store, buying container of milk, laying out money for you, and I can't accept a greater amount of money back. You can't, you're not permitted to pay me more than what I laid out for it. I could charge you as a car service for bringing it. But as far as the etzem, issue, the etzem buying it, or it's something that I normally do as a taiva for you, then I cannot charge you anything for it. This is a mefurish sif in Chayshim Mishpat. Now, I always have a problem with many of these things that say beferish in Chayshim Mishpat, that it seems to me that these are not halacha mishum sinais. These are, in the time of the Beis Yosef, a certain estimation of what the stam das of a person is. Stam daiter shel adam, so Chazal estimated. This is not a Kabbalah, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu said this is the nature of human beings. No, this is the way people generally did things. You go to the store, you ask me to purchase something, I intend to buy it for you. It seemed to me that nowadays most people don't have that intention. Most people, if they buy a container of milk, and on the way home, something happens to it, it gets stolen, or something otherwise happens, or a bicycle comes crashing into them, and they fall, and the eggs break, or the milk bottle is broken, the milk spills out, I think most people would just generally assume that they're not entitled to reimbursement, with the exception of David, who assumes he's entitled to get the money back. Right? That's what you said. You assume. But I think most people assume that they're not entitled to, I think. Do you agree with me? What would you do? Maybe you see, the question is this. Are you just ashamed to ask for the money, or you really think you're not entitled to it? Maybe it's hard to make a difference.
What would you do if you send the guy, the milkman guy comes back?
If I sent him and he says... I spilled it, might be a pshia. But let's say he says, I got hit by someone ran into me and then... I don't think I would be inclined to pay him.
What if you paid him before? You paid him beforehand.
I paid him beforehand. There's no question.
I think if you went specifically,
That's not the typical case.
When you go shopping, you see, then okay, I can see that money.
All right, so it's again not like it says in Shulchan. I know. Yeah, so maybe that's why. Because the eggs people don't care about, maybe it would be expensive. It will be different than Achinam. It could be Zariah from a Gemara. I don't know. So I spoke to Rav Palm about this, and Rav Palm told me, I had a few such issues. I'll mention another one in a minute. Rav Palm told me what says Klar in Halacha, the assumption is that way, unless there's some clarkite that it changed. But just to sit in an armchair and say that it changed, that we go by what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the way we work. In the Bris Yehuda, in Hilchos Ribbis, he assumes the same thing. But the other issue I had, I mentioned it once before, people have shown me Pesachim from Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Zalman on the topic, is the issue of finding a quarter on the floor. The halacha is that if you find money, Mois mefuzarim harielu shalai. Why? The Gemara asks, Mois harielu shalai, it's a raya to Rav and Akash and Abaya, because it's Yerushalayim Nidas. How does the person know he dropped it? And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Asiyadim al-Mashu shekisai b'chol shah. That a person always knows, a person notices he dropped a quarter, he's certainly going to notice it right away. So today, I wonder if everybody would notice if they dropped a quarter. you find a quarter, I don't know, would most people notice that they lost it? $5,000, I certainly would notice. But that's not my question. it's 100% a function of money, but I want to halacha l'maisa. If there's a 25 cent, there's a quarter on the floor, I pick it up, what's it in? That means if I find a quarter on the floor, I'm allowed to keep it because my assumption is that the loser was already miyayish. Do you think in fact that that is true?
Does the person even know?
Never know if he's miyayish.
He'll never know.
That's why it's at the Yishlam Yidash. That's the Yimunah. Somebody exchanged a talis here with somebody else. With a silver atar. So exchange a talis. It's similar, but the person here recognizes it. No one ever claimed it. So he said, "I'm Eichel, I'll put it in the shul." That's so pashut. It's Yishlai Midas. If the other person didn't notice, it's Yishlai Midas. A talis has to be yours. It's a bracha of atalim. So not so pashut. So I have a talis with a silver atar sitting in the study, and it's Yemunach. I can't even. Normally, Ramesh has a heter, Vayei Munach, he's a kabel to pay for it, and then you could use it. But Vayei Talis, he can't even do that, because it's still not Lachem, you still need Gedilim Tas Lacha. So actually, I could unstitch the silver, that doesn't have to be Lacha. But the Talis, it's a problem. So this also, Rav Palm insisted, Chazal say, Yotel Mashu Shekisa, unless you know for sure, it's not that way. I don't know. So if I see a quarter on the floor, I don't pick it up. Because according to Rav Palm, I don't have to pick it up. If I pick it up, it's mine. So if I see it in the street, Rubai Gayim, I'm not, it's a different story. But yeshiva, there's a quarter on the floor. I don't pick it up because why should I pick it up for? If I pick it up, I'm only going to make myself into bigger problems. So the emunach. So I'd rather avoid the whole issue and shine. Shaval Tassad, I'm going to take the quarter into bed. That's a question. I don't know. I don't know what to share. It depends on the generation, if you don't mind. But anyway, getting back to this shaila, I just don't want to finish. This is the Nagadika shaila. So the question is, if someone... So he sent it to buy an Aleph Bina, according to what it says in Chayshim Mishpat, but it's a Ribbis problem. It's a Ribbis issue because he laid out the money for the Aleph Bina, he owes him $9, and now he cannot pay him extra. What I did tell him was that I don't believe he's giving you the extra money because he's grateful that you lent money to him. He's probably doing it because he likes you, or because he feels good about his son having this this thing, or he's doing it for other reasons. So if it wouldn't be that he gave it to you b'shas pirayin, it would be that he paid you the $9, and later shloi b'shas pirayin he gave it to you. So we once had a heter. If you have two drabbanans together, if it's derech mekach u'memkar, which is this case, and it's ribishayda ketsutza, the two main drabbanans. So we said if it's ribis mucheres, if it's not b'shas pirayin, we said that that's mutter. The two drabbanans are mutter if it's not b'shas pirayin. So here. It's not so besides giving him cash for it. It's Derech Mekach HaMemka. Right, Derech Mekach HaMemka is zero bottom. He bought something and he's, what? Oh, so here it's a problem. He gave it to B'Shas Peron, so it's a problem. It's B'Shas Peron, it is a problem. I hadn't given him the $9 and then the next day given him this certificate, it'll be something else. But it appears to be a problem. Yes. He doesn't have to be mazir. Once it's a drabbana, it doesn't have to be mazir. Interesting issue. Because once he accepted it, it's a certificate. So a certificate may have a market value. That's an interesting question. The halacha is, we said by ribbis drabbana, once you get it, you're not mechuyev mikradin, you're not mechuyev to return it. So the question is, when you get a gift certificate to a person's restaurant, is pshat, you already received it? Or it's just a promise? Probably has it. If it has a market value, you already received it. That's a good thing. What? If he already received it, then he would have to give a lot to Shemayim.
There's a highly discounted market value.
So then the Rambam says that you're allowed to sell bonds and checks. The Rambam says that selling a bond or a check or an IOU is Devarim Haniroim Kiribis Veinam Ribis. He says that If I lend you money, you give me a post-dated check, and I sell it to someone else, I can sell it at a discount. It happens all the time in many businesses. Because it has a market value. A bond or a promise of payment has a market value. Okay, well, I'm getting off the topic. I wanted to say is about buying things in a store, this idea. The Bris Yehuda makes a point, though. He says, we paskin, if someone sends you to the store, and you buy it, stoma, your das is to lend him money and to buy it to him. Now, you can change. You can say, yeah, but deliberately, I'm having a mind to buy it for myself, that anybody can do what they want. But stoma not that way. However, Zokter, let's say the same case. You send me to buy a container of milk in the store. So we say, when I buy it, I buy it for you and it's a loan. Zokter Bris Yehuda, what happens if I tell you, you know, I'm going to the store for a container of milk? He says, oh, so buy me one also. Now I buy two containers of milk. The halacha changes. Why? When I buy two containers of milk and I'm coming home, which container of milk is mine and which is yours? Which is mine and which is yours? Obviously, nothing is being done to show which is the other person's. So Bris Yehuda says that when you buy two containers of milk, one for him and one for you, then there's no loan. Then you're buying everything for yourself and you're selling one to him later. Hey, Yais, there's no kinyan on any one to be his when you buy two. Therefore, the container of milk there, in that case, is no loan taking place.
No
Breira? The question, I don't know. Mr. Urbano, you may make on Breira. What?
Everything mine in one package.
If you designate it, then there'll be no question. Or if he gives you numbers for the lotto, you know, his. Breira here would be to drop on it. So we'd be Makel and Breira. It wouldn't be Machmer. We'd be Makel. That's not a lot.
So
we're
saying
That's what comes out. Nothing else.
So if you send someone to buy something,
and
it's a couple of pennies and change, you can't tell the person, keep the change.
So the question is a couple of pennies and change. You buy something which is $1.97, you give him $2, can you keep the change? Can you say keep the change? There's a Chuvah Michas Yitzchak. He says that you can only say keep the change for an amount of money which if it were on the floor, you would not bother to pick it up. In other words, you're saying it's insignificant, you can't give him anything else. Yeshiva on the street, okay. Because of its value, you wouldn't bother. Schartir, you can't give him schartir if you make up the gift. There's an obligation. If you owe him schartir, you can give him schartir. You can't. It's a tircha that normally friends do for free, and you're paying him, so it would seem to be that schartir.
The standard of not picking it up, is that
totally
in the mouth or the
label? I'm not sure exactly how we would go about it. Lamaisa, I think you should not say keep the change. And that's right. That's what he says. I should rephrase it. But the Vishuddha says, if you send me to buy something, if I'm kind of for you, it's your loss. If I'm not kind of for you, it's my loss. Now, we're assuming that if you're sent for one container of milk, you're kind of for him. And then if he sends you for two containers of milk, and you're not designating which is which, you're not kind of for him. Now, you can do whatever you like, but that's the assumption. That's only a garmi. That's if there's a hezek. If the expense is a hezek, if I tell you to manufacture something for me, you manufacture. Say no, I don't want it. You say, well, I can do it. You know, I make you do a big wood carving with my initials. So I say, no, I don't want it. I make any kinyan. So there's a din of hoytzeitzayis apiv. If I tell you to expend something that has a value of money or money, so that's garmi. That I'm chayev. But that's not the case here. My cause of telling you to spend the money is not what caused the hezek. What caused the hezek is that it was stolen later. That's after the fact. The question is who you're kind of for. It's a quirk. It's an interesting quirk in the halacha. But which is the second?
One of them is designated for him. Yeah, but the question is, was a kinyan done to already give ownership to him as of now?
On one of them, yes. We just don't know which one.
But that's not a kinyan. A kinyan that's not, that's number four is not a kinyan. A kinyan has to be on the on one. I didn't give him shutras in both. I intend to give him one. It's not designated. It's a quirk in the way things work out. What?
The difference if he lost both containers and one container.
No difference. If I was a kite, it's for him, what's the difference? And what he's saying is that it's not a suffix. You're assuming it's a suffix. He's saying it's not a suffix. It's a vadai. If you go into a store and you buy one for him, one for you, and you don't designate, so you're not kind of for him. That's all. You didn't do a kinyan for him. Period. You failed to do a kinyan for him. Now there's a vart on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the end of Gittin that a man's allowed to give a get. Hillel says, afilu kitcholav tafshila, even if she burnt his food. So, you know, it's not something you like to learn in mixed company, you know, that you're allowed to give a get a hillel kitcholav tafshila. So there's a var, it sounds like a chassidish var, no, it's true. But there's a varital that afilu kitcholav tafshila means she's cooking supper, and puts up two steaks, one burnt and one didn't burn. She comes home and he says, you know, one burnt, one didn't. Guess what? Yours burnt. Mine didn't burn. So that's how they say, kill off Tashila. His burnt. Husband burnt.
What if they
paid
for him? What if they paid for him? So when you bought it.
I don't think there's any difference. A Kenyan has to be a Dover Mavorer. You can't confer ownership if it doesn't, you don't designate what he's owning.
Okay.
All right, this is a halacha that. I don't think anybody would pay much more for it. No, there's no store there. There's no Judaica. It's worth $9 plus shipping. I guess it's worth $13. Is that cool that it's worth $13? I don't know. He's allowed to charge him $13 if he wants. He can charge him $50 for it. I mean, except for the rules of Aynar. But see, the problem is, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, we assume that when he was in the store in Brooklyn and he picked up the Alafina, our assumption is that he was kind of thin. Now it's too late. That's the problem. Oh no, to add we had a heter to add b'shas perayin more chitim in the thing, but I don't think the gift certificate from $9 to $36 will fall into that. No, if you had a little chitim b'shas, but we said that you can add a little bit, machinami. If you don't say it, you don't say $36. Okay. I'd like to what? In the case of the lottery ticket, it was his money. The owner, that's what the Devechaim Shpsak, I believe, that's what the Devechaim Shpsak.
Does it make a difference if he gave
you
the dollar?
If he gave you the dollar, it's more likely that it's his. But certainly, but it was saying even if he didn't. All right. Now. Okay. Getting back to Sif Yud Ches. We learned what's also then a second very. you know something? It's a funny thing, but the issue I wanted to bring up now is going to have a similar argument of what people think. What do we learn here in Sif Yud Ches? We learned a big kula that Ribis the Rabbanon is mutter the mois tzedakah. Now, when you're talking about tzedakah money, you're not allowed to have ribis tzutza, but you're allowed to be involved in an issue of ribis derabanan, even lechatchila. And Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kach ani yosef b'mayis yisaimim," that money of a yasim, money of a shul, money of a yeshiva, if there's such a thing, is allowed to be invested in a ribis derabanan type of an investment, which basically, in practical terms, means where the principal is guaranteed and the interest is not guaranteed. The profit, call it, is not guaranteed. And that is mutter, can be done with tzedakah money. That's the cool of tzedakah. Israeli bonds have a heteriska.
because according to Moshe, Israeli banks do not need a heter iska because they have to have their corporation. So you can have a bankrupt corporation, right? But is it tzedakah to pave roads in Israel? Probably. Is it tzedakah to listen to pave roads? But there are other things that are done with the tzedakah money. It's all hard with the tax money in Israel. It's a little difficult to know which of the things are good and which of the things are not good. It's hard to say. The question that Pleiskin discuss, and it's funny, it sounds like such a innocent thing. There is a significant amount of number of tshuvas on the topic. The question is, you have a pushka in the house. You put money in the pushka. There are Shabbos, and you like it's in Lech, whatever it is. The kids come home, there's a pushka. Comes in, you need money, you know, somebody's delivering the grocery order, and you're short on cash. And you would like to go over to the pushka and borrow some money from the pushka and give it to him, and you'll pay back to the pushka. So one question is whether a person could do it in the first place without the permission of the pushka, of the tzedakah. But more significantly, and we'll see why it's more significant, but the question is, when you repay the pushka, are you allowed to pay extra? Are you allowed to give more than the amount that you took? You took out, you needed $4, there are $4. They go back, see, it's tzedakah, you put in a $10 or $5 or whatever it is. Is there a ribbis issue in a pushka situation?
You could make a strong case that the money in the pushka is really only telling you how much money you're going to give the sucker, because nobody ever really gives that money, they give it to charity.
That's fair, or a dollar or something.
Somebody needs to come and empty the pushka. I know how much money I give the sucker because I counted up, and I see it at $12.47. I ran a check for
$12.47. Yeah, that's what I'm expecting, to give the money in the pushka.
That's the way to give the
I'll tell you what it should depend on. There's a question of Caleb Shalkaina Bishus Makna Kana Elaikana. I think that's what it depends on. Caleb Shalkaina Bishus Makna. If you go and buy a fancy silver pushka, which sounds much of it's better to buy a cheap one and put the money into the pushka, but they have these fancy silver pushkas. I got one as a gift. I'm sorry if someone here is the one that gave it to me. I went to the store and I tried to exchange it. I have one store, I know the owner, exchange it. He says, oh, silver pushkas, I have them over my head. You know, like, so I'm stuck with a silver pushka. But if you have your own silver pushka, there's no shot. Question is only, if you have a pushka which belongs to the tzedakah, Caleb Shalkaina Bishus Makna, it's a Safik, it's Caleb Shalkaina Bishus Makna, is Kaino Anat, which means that when you have a pushka in your house, if it's somebody else, if you put something into the pushka, and it's the tzedakah's pushka, so maybe they should be Kaino the money. And once they're Kaino the money, later, it's true, afterwards you write out a check, you take out the money, you write a check, okay? But the money is theirs. You're writing a check because that's the way that you send the money. So the question is how to look at a tzedakah pushka. A great part of it is the question of what's the stam das of a person. When a person puts money in the pushka, all the earlier tshuvas all talk about the Ramei Balanes pushka. It used to be Ramei Balanes was the name of the chalukah money. It was a chalukah in Yerushalayim, where every country would have, this goes back hundreds of years, every country would have, city would have money, and it was understood. It was the achrayus of people in Golis to support Jews in Israel. And twice a year, the chalukah money would come, there'd be gaboy tzedakah, and they would distribute the money. There were two types of chalukah. Earlier, the chalukah was general. Later, the chalukah was based on the city. People would support members of their own city that were represented. That's why you have Bate Varsha in Yerushalayim, or Bate Ungar, and what is that? That's because those houses were the people that came from Varsha, and they were supported from the Varsha chalukah. And the people in the Bate Ungar were supported from the from their chalukah. And there was Bate Minsk, there was an area, there was, as you think, it's a neighborhood. It's not a neighborhood, it's a couple of houses.
But that's how it came. And the tshuvas all talk about this. There are numerous tshuvas, and there are chalukei deis. Again, as to what the stam das of a person is when he puts money into a pushka. Is the stam das to be makta the money to tzedakah? Or is it nothing more than a promise? I'm taking note of my intention to give it later. I think most people are confused by what their stam das is. Because I think if I ask most people, when you put the money into the pushka, does it belong to them? Most people say, no, it doesn't belong to them, yeah. On the other hand, you'll say, well, so you're not Mekayim Tzedakah yet, right? Your money in the pushka when Rosh Hashanah comes, it's not on last year's Tzedakah, it's on next year's Tzedakah. Because the money's still sitting. You say, no, what do you mean? I gave the Tzedakah. I have a minig. We give Tzedakah before candle lighting. I tell you, you don't give Tzedakah. You promise to give Tzedakah. You pledge to give Tzedakah before candle lighting. But you don't give Tzedakah. All you do is you say you're going to give Tzedakah and you even do something to show it. It's like, you know, you would put in a piece of paper that says a dollar, it would be the same thing. So it's a little unclear what a person's real intention is. Halacha l'maisa, it's very hard to say because they're chalukei deis. And therefore, unless a person has a beferish adas, I think that a person would have to be chayshish for both tzedakah. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's tzedakah's. Now, as far as ribbis is concerned, Mamana Shach, you don't have a problem. If it's mine, I can take out $4 and put back $5. What's the problem? If it's tzedakis, I can take out $4, I can put back $5 as long as it's not ketsutza. Because by tzedakah, ribis drabanan is mutter. It's ribis sheda ketsutza, it's no problem. However, that's all if you're taking from your own pushka. If you're taking from a pushka which has someone else's money in it, you have two roommates and there's a pushka. So the money of the pushka may not be his money, maybe the other person's money. Now if it's tzedakah's money, there's no problem. If it's the other person's money, so what are you doing? You're taking out $4. How does it work? When you put back $5, what are you doing? Maybe it's also not a problem. I'm borrowing $4 from you. No, but I'm paying back $5, $4 to you and $1 to tzedakah.
So
if it's $5 to him, it's certainly a problem, but I don't intend for him to get the $5. I intend for tzedakah to get the $1. So that, but that's still us. I'm not borrowing money from you and pay back for someone else.
But how do you have
it would
borrow?
Seem to be a problem when it's someone else's money. The question is, how do you have your shus to borrow in the first place?
Yeah.
That's not a ribbis issue, it's a Geneva issue. How do you have your shus to borrow in the first place? That's so close. You're allowed to change, there's no shadow. I remember in yeshiva, people used to say, now take change from the pushka unless you give something to tzedakah. Not true. If you need change, you go to pushka, take 4 quarters and give it a dollar. Well, you can take change. Not our bar, there's no ribbis, there's no Geneva, there's no problem. But anyway, this pushka issue, if it's your own pushka, you have the heter mamanasha. If it's yours, it's yours. If it's tzedakah, you have this sif's heter. If it's someone else's, then there's a problem. Now, of course, if you put in a check right away, there won't be a problem. As long as there's money to cover the check. An IOU is a loan. A check, if there's money to cover the check, then the check today is... it's understood. I mean, it's... It comes back to the check issue, but certainly that's the way it's normally done in a pushka. It would seem to be okay. So this is the issue. There's one last issue in Sif Yud Ches, which turned out to be quite a long Sif, and that is to extend this heter. We have this very breita heter that all ribbis drabanan is mutter in a case of tzedakah. There is a shaila in the Paiskim whether this heter is when money is borrowed for tzedakah, dafka, or even when money is borrowed for a tzarchei mitzvah, something that's a mitzvah need. The Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos, I'm reading from the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is the Siman Reish Mem Beis Sif Katan Dalid.
should be based in Roma somewhere. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah, Lashon Mishnah Berurah. Lavin beribis l'tzarech su de Shabbos, I su de mitzvah. If you stop here, in good shape. You're allowed to borrow beribis if you need the money to make a chasana. No, it's l'tzarech su de Shabbos, su de mitzvah. Su de Shabbos, most people, Baruch Hashem, don't have to borrow beribis. Oy, su de mitzvah. I guess a wedding would be a su de mitzvah. Zok de Mishnah Berurah, who's he quoting? Magen Avraham. Okay. Hainu. May any Yehudi. When we say a lot of barber ribbis, we're talking about from a guy. Oi, the Yisrael b'derech heter, or from a Yid b'derech heter. Mishabura, wait, let me finish reading. Dr. Sharat Sion, Udalai Kamaisha Reisi Laechad Shehite Beribis Durabanan. And now, like I saw Laechad, an unnamed Echad, Shehite Beribis Durabanan, who understood this heter to be a heter of Ribis Durabanan. Ba'ayin bebir halacha. The bir halacha, he says. I don't know why he said talking to Mishnah in the bir halacha. Bir halacha says they don't have a Shabbos. I'm Agan Avraham. Shekasa b'shem Yerushalmi loving beribis l'tzaras with the Shabbos. Ve'taknu b'mishnah Berurah. Period. Why is he telling you I'm bebir halacha?
To get you back to the Mishnah Berurah.
This the makar. This is a Navi. Where is it in Navi?
Avadia.
Avadia. Avadia is, she says, Avadia borrowed money. She tells Elisha, I borrowed money, Beribis, to support the 100 Nevi'im that were in the, not I, Avadia borrowed. And then Avadia died, the Boha, Hanoshek. The question is, was the Hetzbekov Nefashis, or was it a Heter in Hilchasu? Yerushalmi says, love and Beribis. And the Pashas Yerushalmi is that Smutta Beribis Mamish. But the Meister of Mishnah Berurah Paskin is a tzasser. What?
Was a guy? Is that it was a
guy? Achav. He buys from Achav's son. No, the king's son is the one who did it.
So
he's ever.
Yeah,
Shafat. Yeah, Shafat.
No.
Yeah,
Shafat. No. Achav's son.
From Achav's son. From which son?
So he's
ever Yairav. So if his mother was a guy, then there's no. Yeah. Oh, Nachinami. Oh, you're reminding me. Tanya. It's brought down in the Gilyan, in the I think the beginning of Hilchas Ribbis, the story. Somewhere in the Gilyan of the first page, this Maisa. Oh yeah, look at the very first page. You just reminded me, the Berkei Yosef. The very first page, Kufman Tes. You have Kufman Tes? No.
The seventh page.
Oh, you don't have Kufman Tes. Anyway, the bottom line of Berkei Yosef, Yitaka brings from the drushes of Harava Godlam Arash Primai, Devadya Shalava Beribis Miyahiram Kedin Avat Diyahiram Avat Kechavim Havim. He says, because the Izebel, the wife of Acha, was Megayer, but it was not sincere. So it's actually on the second side, so that you do have. It continues. To have a Ben Izebel, Ubin Chabam, Eskechabim, Nikra Bina, Umutuluv, Ezel Cham, Beribis. El Medrab, Pirkei Yosef. Ella Medrab, Adonas, Shalom, Mimaisav, Akan Leshaya, Dele Talmud Taira, Mutta, Dele Gomer, Mimaisav. He says it's only us in the Rabbanan from a guy which was Dina the Gemara, and he says
in general it's us at the bar.
Anyway,
the bar from a guy.
We said that the Dina the Gemara was Asa, and Chazal Mata was Tzara Parnasasa, and Asher everything is Tzara Parnasasa. It's not a well known. Anyway, this is a the Arme Kilim in I think the I don't want to say because I don't remember. But the Arme Kilim that holds the Tzachi Mitzvah, it's Mutter, but the Pesach in the Mishnah Berurah is that it's Aser. However, there is a question, a variation of this. And the variation, that's where the Ramah is. I start to say it's a Ramah. The variation is, if I borrow Beribis, I borrow money, Shalai Beribis, I borrow money from you, and Beribis Derasu, there would be no Hetu, there would be Beribis Derabana. And what I do, Bishas Perayim, is I give you something that's a tzorech mitzvah. In other words, when I pay you, when I repay you, I tell you, you know, I noticed that your ritzuas are bad, I bought you a new ritzuas for your tzon. Or I noticed that your siddur is ripped, I bought you a new siddur, a new sefer, so that's a tzorech mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah, in addition to the Karen, he gives back the $9, plus he gives them back Yesh matirin. This is Ramah later. You don't have it there. Kufayim beis. Yesh matirin lahalvais ala svarim
I mekayme space hakneses v'leishav afalayim afilu b'loy nichyaisa davel tzarech mitzvah umot aluvais beribis v'tzarech mitzvah. It's an extension according to this sheet in the Ramah. Our heta that for tzedakah you're allowed to pay ribis for tzarech. It's an extension according to this sheet in the Ramah. Our heta that for tzedakah you're allowed to pay ribis for tzarechei tzedakah. That heter, the Ramah brings from Yesh Matirin, that it's mutter if you're giving back something more, something which is a provided that it's a thing which is a tzarech mitzvah.
What?
Oh, so that's the thing. There's a variation. There are Mishnah Berurah's case is the halva itself was a tzarech mitzvah. But the payment is going to a person's personal pocket, not for a mitzvah. That's not so similar to tzedakah. In the tzedakah case, the profit is going to tzedakah. In the case where you borrow to make a chasana, it's not going.
And now we
come
back to Alafina.
What?
Come
back. No, the Alafina is the Mishnah Berurah case, where the ribbis is not mitzvah.
Not that ribbis.
You can make a mitzvah.
Again, you have two cases. One where the keren is used for a tzarech mitzvah.
That's his case.
And that's the Mishnah Berurah case, where you borrow money to make a chasana. And there it's also. This case is that I'm borrowing for personal use. Well, the ribbis payment is a mitzvah.
Right.
The gift certificate is a mitzvah. It's not.
Because
the thing that I'm giving you. Anyway, this is the heter of the Ramah. The Shach says Tov Lahachmir, Masis Benachyaisa. The Beis Yosef clearly argues with it, and it's a curiosity. But it's the truth is, if somebody wants to rely on it, it says the Shach Tov Lahachmir. It doesn't say it's also. He defends the Ramah from the Mefakfikin, and he says Tov Lahachmir.
But in the Mishnah Berurah with the Mother Avraham. So what's the chiddush? You can borrow from a guy. I can borrow from a guy if it's not a sudis mitzvah.
I can borrow. Yeah, that's the Pella. He means even though Dina de Gemara, you were not supposed to borrow from a guy, not to get used to it. So Dina de Gemara, it's a Gemara. Why is the Magen Avraham bring it down? That would be the cash. Okay, there's one, Sifya Tess, is one more prod in this din. A very interesting Shaila. There's a Lamdish Shaila. Let's say someone's in charge of Yisayman money, and he makes loans for Yisayman, and he does a Ribbis Ktsutsa loan. It's Lacha Maisa. He lent money for Ribbis Ktsutsa, and he got Ribbis Ktsutsa. Then he realized that by Yisayman only Ribbis Drabban is Mutta, and not Ribbis Ktsutsa. What happens Lacha Maisa? It's a very interesting thing. Apatropish Shehilva Mois Yisayman for Ribbis Ktsutsa. Im aloiva nata lechelka kokach revach kamay shehisna las islam kayev litin lam. What does that mean? You have the yasim, the apotropis, and the person in whom you're investing, the businessman we'll call it. So you have the yasim, the apotropis, and the businessman. The apotropis invests in the businessman's business. He says, I'd like you to guarantee the keren and the rib and the interest. And he guarantees it, which is ribis deiraisa. Problem. What happens now? Now, if it would be a hedyit, it's also to take the ribis, you get your keren back, but the ribis, you don't get a penny. So, Dr. Shulchan Aruch, what happens here? What happens is the following. The apotropis did something with the Maisei Yisayman, which he was not legally entitled to do. So what happens? What do we do to it? So I would think, we tell the businessman, look, the money was given to you by mistake, return it, and he gives back the keren. Dr. Shulchan Aruch, no. What we do is we pretend, ki'ilu, the money was given with a heter iska, without a guarantee of interest or principal. We pretend as if it was given without a guarantee. And it's an iska. What's an iska? I'm talking about a heter iska. I'm talking about an iska. An iska is an investment. If the business makes money, you make money. If the business doesn't, you don't. Dr. Shulchan Aruch, im ha'loiva, not the lechelkoi kokach revach. If the business made profit, as much as he promised 5%. The business made the 5%. Chayev litein lahem. Then he has to give it to the assignment, because we sort of impose ki'ilu it was done with an under the arrangements of an iska, and therefore it's mutter.
It's sort of like a retroactive. When you give us anything,
if there's no profit or there's less profit, you can't give it. That's
right. Come and say, give me the.
So if there's a loss, the said will not take the loss. In effect, the principal is going to be guaranteed, which is okay by assignment, just not the interest.
Is this a question this of way. The Eliza? So how could this?
What it appears, the Taz Yud Zayin explains this. Let's just start it, and you'll see there's something else. When I learned Hilchos Ribbis, we spent a whole year learning it. So we started Kuf Matas, Kuf Samach, Kuf Sacham, Samach Aleph, right? We were learning it Zedeshk in the morning and Hilchos Ribbis in the afternoon. I couldn't wait. We should get to Dine Heter Iska. And we never got there. I have to admit, we skipped Kuf Sabach Ches, Kuf Sabach Tes, which is one simon. There's a quirk in the printing. If you ever, it is a one simon which is called Kuf Sabach Ches, Kuf Sabach Tes. It's a riddle you can ask somebody. Where's the Siman Shulchan Aruch that has two numbers? I think the reason is just because the printers messed up a little bit in their lack of proper planning. But it's a very hard Siman anyway. It deserves to have two names. And it's not from the Gehel Maisa, it's Dinei Mashkanta, which is not so Shchiach. But outside of that, we learned Tilchus Ribbis, and we didn't hit Hechus HaTeska. Why didn't know Hilchos HaTeiska anyway? So really, when you learn, you have to find Hilchos HaTeiska. The answer is, there's something called an iska. What's an iska? An iska is a business arrangement. It's not a contrived thing. It's a typical business arrangement. I think of a good business. I'd like to open up a business. I need capital. I go to an investor, and the investor invests with me. And people say, do I need a heter iska? You don't need a heter iska. That's an iska. An iska is you invest with someone. If there are losses, you share losses. If there are profits, you share profits. That's an iska. You don't need a heter iska for that. What? Shutzim. Shutzim just wants a silent partner. One's a loud partner. That's the way it goes. Now, what we're doing here, really, in Taz Yud Zayin, is explaining to a certain degree how an iska works. And what I would like to do is go through Taz Yud Zayin, we'll do it next week. And at the same time, Chaf Arayin, an understanding of Heter Iska. Now this is crucial because, as Rav Moshe writes, some people think a Heter Iska is like a Kameya. You wave it at the Ribbis and it becomes Mutter. And Rav Moshe says you can't intend to use a Heter Iska that way. You have to understand the Heter Iska.
Who has to understand?
Really, both parties ideally have to understand. There is a certain amount of disagreement in a case where one party understands and the other party knows that party understands, and he's asking him if that is adequate. There's a certain amount of disagreement.
Let's say the Malva understands it. You can adequately explain it.
Yeah, so there are,
explain it to you.
There are those who argue that that's not unusual in business, where a person says a certain instrument, and you're investing in this instrument. How does the instrument work? I'm buying futures. You give it a name. People, if you trust the other person, you don't always understand exactly what it is.
Investigate what it means.
Okay.
Right?
All right, but at any rate, certainly a person should understand the Heter Iska. And next week, we're going to learn Sifu Test with the Taz. And I mean, it's Hashem, we'll go through exactly the way a Heter Iska should work. Now, I should mention, I received in the mail, I think I brought it, this is not it, from Emigrant Savings Bank, a correction. I had mentioned here that Emigrant no longer does a Heter Iska. The Emigrant Savings Bank branch here will do a Heter Iska if you want. They don't have a Heter Iska klali. In other words, they don't have a general Heter Iska, but he sent me a copy of the Heter Iska. I think I have it here in the study because I had it in my hands before, and must have left it in the study where I made copies of Heter Iskas. And on request, there is a Heter Iska. Remind me next week, I'd like to mention a little bit of the Ha'ara on the ability of a branch manager to make a Heter Iska where it goes, in more likelihood, violates banking laws. I don't know that bank is entitled to go to certain levels of risk, but Amitz Hashem, I'd like to next week to get into the Heter Iska issue. So we'll do that, Amitz Hashem.
Why do you change in the Vidala in one quarter?